All right, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I am very excited and ready for camp. I wasn't ready up to about 10 minutes before I got to the church, but I'm ready now. It's been a busy weekend, just getting everything prepared. And but man, we have a blast up at camp. We have a good time. The Lord always works. And be in prayer for those teenagers. Be in prayer for us adults while we're up there. And just please, please pray. You take that prayer list and pray for us because we need it. And the one thing, if I could ask you guys to pray for as well, this was brought up in the camp text chain. They keep everybody informed with camp, different things. But Brother Samson Ryman's brother-in-law ended up having a stroke, and he usually comes up to camp every year, but his name is Joe Miller. If you can keep him in your prayers, he is saved. He is a Sunday school teacher at his church, but just be in prayer for Joe Miller. He had a stroke. They're still doing tests. They're trying to figure out what caused it. He's a young man. He's in his 40s, but just be in prayer for him. He's been a huge blessing up at camp. He preaches a lot of the men group sessions for just the teen boys. We usually have at least one, just the boys, and then a girl section where we can just meet with just the guys. And he preaches just an amazing message every year for the boys. And just be in prayer for him and his family. His boy, he's got young children who come up and they sing and they minister at the camp as well. So Joe Miller. And that's, you guys may not be familiar with that name, but Samson Ryman's brother-in-law, if you're familiar with him. But yeah, we're going to read and look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And I'm going to be preaching out of the text and out of this thought here this morning. And this message is going to be, yes, it's going to be geared towards the teens and making sure that their hearts are prepared for camp and making sure that the priority is correct going to camp. But anytime we open up the scriptures and anytime we preach, it can be applicable to everyone. And so that you would just please consider yourselves, examine yourselves through the message as well. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so I want to ask you tonight is, who are you seeking to please? And the title of my message is, Are You a Pleasure Seeker? Are you a pleasure seeker? But who are you seeking to please? Who are you seeking to please? Because many times, living in this life, especially as a teenager, we are very heavily influenced by our peers. And even as an adult, you grow older and we make decisions. You're also influenced by your peers, of course, but a little bit less as much as a teenager's. They're still forming their opinions, their ideas of who they want to be as a young adult. And they're very impressionable, and they're very impressionable to each other. And so it's a situation that you need to examine in yourselves. Who are you seeking to please today? Are you going to camp to please yourself, to hang out with just make new friends? Or maybe some of you are considering, maybe some of the young ladies are, oh man, I hope there's a bunch of cute boys I can meet, you know, and usually you see, but I'm going to a Bible camp, so they must love the Lord, right? Or maybe it's, hey, listen, I was a teenager once, we know how we think, boys, you know, and trying to look like a stud and try to impress all the girls, we all know how you think, like, but what's your motive going to camp? Is that the only thing you're thinking about? Your motive should be to please the Lord. I'm going to be making decisions here for the honor and glory of God, not just for myself. And so I'm going to be preaching this morning on there are three major things that you need to check on to see who you're seeking to please. Are you seeking to please yourself? Are you seeking to please your friends and those around you, or are you seeking to please the Lord? And so I'm going to be preaching on three things real quick this morning, And then we'll be dismissed and we'll take our picture and go to camp. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come before your people. Lord, I don't take it lightly. Lord, I understand, Lord, the importance of preaching. I understand the importance of making sure that the time and dedication put into it. Lord, it's a very important and serious thing, the preaching of God's word. Lord, I pray that you would be with these young people, that you would just work in their hearts to be soft to the leading of the Holy Spirit this week. Lord, I pray even here in this building that you'd be with your people, that you would soften their hearts, Lord, to examine themselves and not to think of this as a message just for the teenagers, but Lord, for every person in this room. Lord, but the ultimate goal is I wish that you would be honored and glorified through this sermon, through this message. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my heart. Help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to be diving into, and go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Pretty familiar passage. In Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be examining our conversation, and not the conversation that Pastor was preaching on, talking about on Wednesday, conversation in general sense of like your life and how you live your life, but your actual conversation, what you say, what you speak, and how you speak it. And we have a situation here where we can examine this story and this passage in Matthew chapter 26, where a person, a specific individual, was singled out because of how they spoke. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 69, pick it up in verse number 69, and we have this situation here with Peter and Peter's conversation and how Peter's conversation exposed him. And so Matthew chapter 26, pick it up in verse number 69. And it says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, and saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And so what we see here is in this situation, these people, they recognize people, they're like, man, this guy had to have been with Jesus. They recognize him, and they call him out. They say, listen, your speech bewrayeth thee. You talk the way he talks. You act the way he acts. Your speech is betraying you. It's showing that you were Jesus. You were one of his disciples. You are with him. You talk the way he talks. Because he talked like the ones he was around. He was around Jesus. You know, you get around Jesus, you love spending time in this book. You spend time with Christians who love to talk about the Lord. You know what your conversation is going to be? It's going to be about the Lord. And you know what? Peter was around the Lord and in his ministry for about 3 years, 3.5 years or so. And he's around the other disciples and Jesus Christ. And you know what? They had a good influence on each other. Being around Jesus Christ ought to be a big influence on you and change your life. And when Jesus Christ touches your life, guess what? It's going to show. It should show. If Jesus Christ has touched your life, it should be evident in how you speak and how you talk. Do you go around talking about Jesus? Do people know that you're a Christian based on what you say? It should show. He spoke about Christ. It was, and listen, guys, I tell you one of those things that it will expose you about what's truly in your heart based on where you are and who you're talking to. Because listen, there's an expectation. Anyone who has a secular job, right, for those of us who aren't going to teen camp and teens, you know, some go to public school. Most of them, I believe, are homeschooled. But you go to a public school setting or you go, and those of us who have jobs, we go to and we work with other people. You work with a lot of people who, for the majority, aren't saved. And you know what? Your conversation should betray you that you don't talk like them. You don't talk and you don't laugh at the jokes that they laugh at. You don't participate in the conversations that they have because your conversation should be holy. Amen. Your conversation should be reflecting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that of your conversation? How does your conversation betray you, or do you just blend in with the crowd? Do you not say anything that's contrary? Listen, we understand that as a Christian, the cross is an offense. And as a Christian, we are supposed to reach others with the gospel. That is our commandment, that we are to preach the gospel. We're supposed to get the gospel out. That gospel is an offense to a lost world. They don't want to be told that they're a sinner, that they're wrong, and that they need somebody to save them from their sin. That's an offense. So you're not going to get along. And you know what's going to happen? Maybe there's going to be a lot of times where you're at work and there's just no conversation going on at all. I know I work in the tool room now, and I work on benches and I work on different molds that come in that need to be fixed or PM'd, and I got to tear those things down. And I try to focus on make sure that I have a good things to talk about in conversations, but there's a lot of conversation going on in that room that is not clean. And there's a lot of times where I'm not just going to stand up and say, hey, you guys need to shut your mouths because I'm a Christian. So obviously I can't control what they say when they're in there. But I do know that when they sit at my table and when they're talking with me, those conversations don't happen. You know, when they know better. Because when you walk in, you should establish, you know, very early on in your workplace, like, hey, you know, hey, I prefer you don't, you know, say that. I said, I do go to church. I am saved, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. So if you wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain, you know, I said, I can't control what you do at home. I can't control what you do anywhere. But if you're going to be, you know, working with me, I appreciate it. If you wouldn't say that, that's my Savior. And just start it out that way. And I'll tell you what, man, conversations dry up real quick. I mean, that's not the goal. The goal is not to make them shut up and not talk to you at all, because you still want to reach them with the gospel, but it tends to steer the conversations a different direction, which is good. But does your speech betray you? Do people know, hey, we don't talk like this around Kevin. We don't talk like this around brother or so-and-so because we know they're a Christian. I've even had lost people stand up for me. I don't know how many times I'll be at work and I'll be like someone else who doesn't know who I am, and they start cussing and they start doing this, and I'll have a fellow coworker who's not saved, like, hey man, don't say that. You know, Kevin's a Christian. He doesn't like to hear that stuff. You know, that's a blessing. I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. So you have some people who just don't care. You will have those people who just don't care, and they want to be a bother to you. But you ought to be a light in your workplace. You ought to be a light in your school that they know, hey, when those kids are around you, when those people are around you, you do not like to hear those conversations. You don't want to talk that way. And you, as your conversation, should betray you that you want to talk about Jesus Christ. Make a stand. Make and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you relax on that, you start to listen to some of those jokes, and maybe you start to chuckle a little bit at those jokes, and you know what ends up happening is they're like, oh, maybe he's okay with it now. And then they get more comfortable with you, and you start letting things slip, you start letting things slide, then it becomes a problem. Because you're accepting the vulgarity of the world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. The longer you make it acceptable and you okay and you let it pass, let people say, tell those dirty jokes or say those bad words or take the Lord's name in vain, you just let it go. You know what? It corrupts good manners. And you know what? You know what ends up happening is you end up picking up bad manners because you allow it in your presence. and it allows it to affect you and will affect your heart. You got to be careful about what you allow to be done. Listen, I understand you have to be certain places, but you can also put yourself in the forefront and let people know right out the gate that you are a Christian and that you are saved and that those things do bother you. Amen. And at the end of the day, if they choose not to be respectful, well, that's between them and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. All right, it's up to you to be a light in this dark world. Is your conversation holy or is it vile? Your conversation, what proceeds out of your mouth? Are you trying to fit in with the world or are you trying to please God? Are you trying to please yourself? Listen, at the end of the day, right, we sit here thinking like, I'm not saying what I say. I'm not doing what I do necessarily to please others. You're doing it to please yourself because you don't want to be uncomfortable, right? You don't want to be uncomfortable. And so you're not trying to please God, you're trying to please yourself. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Right, nobody likes to be uncomfortable. No one wants to be that person that's necessarily different from anyone else. Everyone wants to get along with everybody. But if you are going to represent Jesus Christ, there are going to be people that you will not get along with. Because your alignments and what you stand for are not the same as what the world is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Listen, you shouldn't let corrupt communication proceed out. Listen. Maybe some of you think that certain cuss words are okay or certain things are okay to say, they're not that bad. But listen, I'm telling you right now, even if you proclaim that you're a Christian and you say something, and if the world has says, "Hey, aren't you a Christian? Are you sure you should be saying that?" There's your red flag right there. Even the world knows what words a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, should not be saying. And then you're not going to be administering grace unto the hearers, because then everything else that comes out of your mouth, they can't trust it. What do you believe? I thought you were a Christian, but then you go off and do this. So now your testimony becomes that much weaker. Your character comes that much weaker. Your conversation is important. God cares, listen, God cares about what you say. God cares about words. How many times has God emphasized the words in his book, in the Bible? He cares about words, and he cares about what you say. So you should care. You should care. All right, clothing. All right, next thing we're going to get to clothing. I was trying to decide if I was going with C's or D's and different words I wanted to go with, but C's seem to be a little bit easier. And, you know, before, like, he's going to be preaching about standards and all that standards. Listen, I'm not just preaching about what you should wear, all right? I'm going to be preaching about just being an influence. Your friends, especially teens at a young age, your friends, what you watch, what you listen to is a big influence on what you wear. That's just the reality. You want to be like the people that you look up to. That's just the reality. But who you look up to will show up on how you dress. It will show you who your idols are, who you're looking at, and who you want to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We just need a reminder here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, of who we ought to be following. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, who are our leader is the person who we should be following after. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just a little reminder tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 19 through 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own." You're not your own. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's." Now, we understand there's different places in the Bible where it gets more specific about what people should wear, how they should wear them. But I want to put the emphasis back on the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that your body, your temple is His. You were bought with a price. You are His. And as such, you ought to be taking care of your temple and dressing your temple as if it is God's. We tend to forget that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us and that this isn't just our body anymore. You're a temple of God. You're a light to a dark world. And guess what? Yes, what people see will influence what they think. That is the reality. That is what's going to happen. And, you know, people say, what's that common phrase? Where the your first impression, right? The first impression you make is one of the most important ones you make. Because they when they see, the first thing they do is they're going to see you. Before they hear anything come out of your mouth, they're going to see you first. Right. You know, that's why when we're out street preaching on the street corner, we put an emphasis, hey, don't just come out there looking like a bum. You know, wear some nice pants, wear a nice polo or one of our church ministry shirts. And, you know, look presentable, look nice, and we're going to give the gospel out. All right, because we're not just representing ourselves, not just showing up just to get there. No, we're representing, yes, the Church of Emmanuel. We're out there as a church together, but ultimately you're representing Jesus Christ. Right. You're a light of the world to a dark world, and you need to know that the way you dress is influenced by your faith in God. You are a temple of the Lord. Young men, are you dressing to impress young ladies? Young ladies, are you dressing to impress young men? As a teenager, you are greatly and heavily influenced. And listen, guys, that doesn't go away when you become an adult. Ladies want to impress their, you know, wives want to impress their husbands. Husbands want to impress their wives. Or maybe you're not married. Maybe you're single. Guess what? You're trying to impress the opposite sex. That's what you do. But the Bible says that that's not how we should be focused on. And our focus should be focused on we are dressing to represent and to please the Lord. Amen. That is what we should be doing. What you dress, how you dress reflects on who you're trying to please. Are you trying to please others? Are you trying to please the Lord? How about are you trying to please yourself? Oh, well, I'm not going to wear that because I'm not comfortable wearing that, or that's itchy, and I'd never wear a tie, I'd never do this, I'd never wear this because, man, I just don't feel comfortable in that. Well, that's the problem, right? You're not willing to go through some discomfort just to please the Lord? You know how many times we look in the Old Testament, there were very, very crazy things that God commanded those people to wear, and you know what? And they had to do those things. But God, there's a reason why God put those rules in place. And we just tend to feel like, well, I'm not comfortable, and I'm just going to dress the church how I feel comfortable. It's like, but what is your goal? Like, is it just about making yourself feel comfortable? Or are you going to do your best, wear your best, work your hardest, have a good attitude because it pleases the Lord? I don't dress, you know, we don't dress for everyone else's approval. You shouldn't be coming to church saying, you know what, I'm wearing this because everyone else is looking at me. That's not your motive. That should not be your motive. It's, I'm going to dress to give the Lord my best. Romans chapter 13, look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How many times do we provision ourselves for the flesh? Well, I'm going to wear, you know, and you don't even think about it, right? When it's a hot day out, you're like, you know what? I'm going to wear less layers so I'm more comfortable and I stay cool. When it's cold outside, you're like, oh, it's cold outside. I'm going to put on more layers. I'm going to comfort my flesh and I'm going to stay warm. And you don't even think about it. But a lot of times you're like, well, I'm not going to wear this because it's itchy. I'm not going to wear this because it's too tight. I'm not going to wear this because it's too loose. And you're constantly thinking about how you feel and how you look to other people, instead of just saying, you know what, this pleases the Lord, I'm going to do this for the Lord. We don't have our priorities and our thinking in the right place. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, we are, I just touched on this already in the Sunday school lesson, which I'm sure you guys went over here as well. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this is talking to the church, talking to us. You as a believer, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I touched on this morning, do people look at you and like, hey, that's a holy person. That's a holy nation. Hey, they're peculiar. Hey, they're different. Or are they just... you walk by, and there's no difference between you and anyone else that walks by. You know, there are certain things that we are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like everyone else. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. We're all those things. If someone look at you and say, you know what, that's a holy individual. I don't even have to hear a word coming out of their mouth. They just look different. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. What he has done inside of us should work its way out of us. Are you dressing to appease your own comfort? Are you dressing to impress those in church? Or are you dressing your best for God because he's worthy? God always wants your best. God has never been like, oh, well, I'm only going to give you what you're comfortable with. No. He tells you to do your best, and if you're lacking in any other area, he will supply it. He will help you with that. But he's always asked for those who he loves, those his people, even the Jews. He's always asked and required their best. And guess what? He's always required and asked our best of him. Last thing we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at the character. Your character. Colossians chapter 3. All right. I'll get there eventually. Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at the character of an individual, the attitude that you should have. Who are you trying to appease? Who are you trying to please with your attitude, with your character today? Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against thee, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's pick up and continue reading here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When you read through that passage and look through that passage, does that something or those attitudes and those character traits describe you as an individual? I look at a lot of that stuff on that list, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of things I need to work on. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I need to work on. How about your friends? When you look at this list of people, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Do these look like characteristics of the friends that you have around you, the people that you're around as well? Your friends are a big influence on you. And the things that your friends do and the different attitudes that they have, they rub off on you. It's so important to establish a mindset and a good attitude of the people that you're around with a positive influence immediately. Listen, there are so many times where, you know, there's going to be certain games or certain activities that we do at youth group where some of the teens may not like it. And, you know, they're going to be like, oh, we got to do this again. I'm like, hey, that's not that good attitude to have. Like, we're going to have a good time and we're going to please the Lord while we're doing it. But your attitude is important because it can rub off on other people. They say, oh, it's okay for him to say it out loud that he doesn't want to do something or he doesn't agree with something or he doesn't like something. Then you're like, well, if he can say that, then it must be okay for me to say it or to me to gripe or for me to complain. Well, it's so important to make sure that you keep your character and your attitude in check, making sure that you are being a positive influence with your attitude, not a negative one. We need to be. If we have a bad spirit that comes upon us and starts to affect our thoughts negatively, we got to squash that. You know, I don't know how many times, you know, Mary, we'll just be driving down the road, and she'll just say, hey, just look out the window, you know, not listen to anything. Just look out the window and just look at what God has made. Just, hey, look at that over there. Isn't that how those leaves are turning over there? Isn't that so pretty? Isn't that so amazing? Just like, because the reason she does that, because I'll be sitting there thinking about trying to get somewhere. We're running late or we're trying to do this. And I'm thinking about things negatively in a bad way. And she's like, hey, just look at that out there. And trying to pause and change that into a positive attitude and having a positive influence, because your attitude, man, it changes your perspective. It messes not only with you, but the people around you. It's so important that you keep that attitude in check. Looking at, how about for some of these, your teens here, who your friends are, who you're going to spend your time with, I'm telling you right now, you need to examine when you decide if you're going to be friends with someone. You need to look at how they treat their parents, how they treat adults. Are they respectful or are they disrespectful? Teachers, whoever. That is very important to me. When I watch a young man or a young lady that's disrespectful to an adult, their parents or their teachers, that tells me where their heart is. Because they don't respect the authority that God has put in their life over them. It is so important to monitor and to watch that. I don't want my teenagers to be friends with someone who has a lack of respect for the authority that God has put in their life. And then because it rubs off, man, it rubs off. You need to make sure that you have the right friends and have them set correctly. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 24. Someone, I sit there and I look at this in verse number 24, and the Bible says there, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Being able to understand that someone with a short fuse, you got to be careful. Listen, the Lord makes an influence on someone's character and in someone's life. And God, because of his mercy, because of his long suffering, we are supposed to examine and look at Jesus Christ and his life. Man, how many times do I sit there and think time and time again, man, God is so long suffering to me. The fact that he saved me, knowing that I would still continue in some of my sin, and yet he still is long suffering to me. And is taking care of me and still loves me and still wants to allow me to serve him and to give him glory despite of myself. And yet we lose our patience with people at the drop of a hat. Oh, you dropped that on the ground. What are you doing? What are you messing up now? You messed that all up. And it's just like we do that all the time with the Lord, but that's not how God responds to us. We're supposed to respond with loving kindness, bowels of mercy, humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And we need to remember it's not based upon what others do to us, because look at all the things that was done to Jesus Christ. I was hitting on it in Sunday school, right? Jesus Christ, what do? He came down to love the people. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. He raised the dead. He healed the lepers. He preached about love and bringing the kingdom of God and how much he cared for those people. And yet those same people are the ones who hung him on that cross, that cried out, crucify, crucify. And yet he still loved them enough to lay his own life down and forgave them. And any who are willing to come, he's willing to forgive. But yet we like to hang on to those grudges. Someone does us wrong, I'm going to remember that. Man, I'm so glad that that God doesn't think the way we think. But, you know, we should strive. Once again, we should strive to have the attitude of Christ. Strive to have the mind of Christ. Think the way he thinks. Think how he thinks about sin. How he thinks about souls. About what he cares about. We should be striving to have that mindset and have that affect us in a positive way. How we look at each other as the brethren in Christ in unity, working together, getting along with each other, even if there's someone who does things that you don't like. You know, with coming together in unity, working together for the greater purpose of getting the gospel out, for giving God glory with our lives. You need to have a good attitude. It affects everyone. Your mindset and how you think about it is so important. Young people, how you treat those who are in authority over you, your adults, is important to the Lord. You know, we understand that God has a role for each individual in the home, that the man is in charge of the home and the wife takes care of the children and the different things. But the children's job, listen, you as young people, your job, what God looks to for you to do as a commandment for you is to honor your mother and your father and to be obedient to them. That is God's commandment to you. So what are you upholding the commandment that God has given to you? All right? That is your responsibility, especially your parents, but not just your parents. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. It is so important that you have the right mindset and the right attitude towards those who God has put in authority over you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey them. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Listen, young people, it is unprofitable for you to not giving honor to whom it is due, who God has put in authority over your life. It will be unprofitable for you. And if you don't learn and understand who your authority is at a young age, you're going to have a big problem when you grow up. If you can't take listen to your authority now, then you're going to be the ones who's getting in trouble with the law. You're going to be the ones who are in those prison cells. You're going to be the ones who is constantly having to pay fines because you're like, no one's going to tell me what to do. No, God has put protections and boundaries and things and people in your life for your benefit because they care for your souls. And they want to see you succeed at everything you do in your life. You need to submit to that authority. We've been really instilling into our daughter lately. And I'm just giving you experience because this is the experience that, you know, as parents that we're going through currently right now. It's just like one of those things that we want to continue to drive into our daughter. It's just like, no, it's When someone in authority is speaking to you, it's yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and not just mommy and daddy. You know, it's not just mommy and daddy. You know, especially if, you know, we're with you and we're in a church setting and you're in junior church or you're in King's Kids and it's Mr. Kyle and Mrs. Hannah, it's yes, sir, and it's yes, ma'am. And it is an honor, right? The Bible says that you are to honor those who are in authority over you. You are giving honor and being respectful, saying, listen, you are my authority. You are the one in charge. And God wants me to honor you. God wants me to be respectful. And so now it's up to you to follow through it. That's what God wants you to do right now. When you grow up and you get out of your parents' house, then God's going to have a whole bunch of other things for you to do. And other things for you to worry about, other tasks. He's going to give you a will, his perfect will for you in his life, and he's going to get and guide you and direct you in that way. But right now, his will for you is to be subject to your parents, to be obedient, and to honor those who are in authority over you. And if you're not doing that, then you're not in the will of God. You're not doing what's right in the sight of God. Everything that you do, regardless of all of that, adult in here, not just the teens, but everything you do should be done with a good attitude. Listen, we got VBS coming up in a couple of weeks. So one of the things I try to emphasize in the meetings is like, hey, listen, guys, things get busy. There's a lot of things that have to be done. There's a lot of tasks that have to be done. I was mentioning this to the Sunday school kids a couple of weeks ago as well, that, listen, we want to work together, but we need to have a good attitude about it. So that when the kids see us working in this ministry and they see us working together and serving the Lord, that they're not looking at the adults as doing this work begrudgingly and be like, I don't want to be a part of that ministry. They don't look like they're having fun serving. It's important for you to put a smile on your face, have a good attitude, and remember who you're doing it for. Because those kids are watching you and they're like, do I want to serve the Lord when I grow up? When mommy and daddy don't care to serve the Lord. They don't look like they're happy. They come home and they complained about this person and they didn't like working with this person. And, you know, your kids are watching you and they're saying, like, man, they didn't look like they were having a good time serving at the church, serving at VBS, or and all that stuff just rolls in the back of their mind. Like, is serving the Lord worth it? And it's so, that's why it's so important that your mindset and your attitude is correct, because there are people, there are young people watching you all the time. Is it worth it to serve the Lord? I can stand up here and tell you it is worth it to serve the Lord, but if I don't act like it, where's the proof? You need to make them realize it is worth it by what you do, how you say it, your attitude. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Yes, we want to be a blessing to people. We want to be a blessing to men, but that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it for the Lord. Men will let you down all the time. If you're doing something for just to please men, and when they don't please you, when they don't make you happy, or they don't give you what you think you deserve, guess what? Your attitude changes towards them real quick. But if you're doing it to God, who you know has everything lined up for you, that's best for you, has every good intention for you, wants to bless you above what you are able and what you deserve, he is worthy to be served. He is worthy of our best. He is worthy of our best. Whether it's your conversation and what you say, how you speak it, what you do, your conversation, what comes out of your mouth, your words are important to him. How you present yourselves as a child of God who is bought with a price is important to him. What people see when they look at you is important to the Lord. You know, how many times I think about that passage about David where man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. You're right. That's right. God knows the heart, but it's because man looks on the outward appearance. That's why God put rules in place, because you know what? The first thing they see when you walk up, the first thing they see is what you wear, what you look like. Because God does see the heart. Yeah, maybe God knows your heart is right, but man doesn't know that. And who are we trying to reach? The world. God already has us. He already has our heart. He already knows where we stand. The world does not. How do you treat those who are in charge? How is your character? How is your attitude towards those who are in authority over you? And those of you who maybe a lot of you don't think you have a lot of authority over you, but how is your attitude in life? Are you treating every situation in life, whether it's negative or positive, with a good attitude? Are you being a reflection to this world and to the young believers in here that you love the Lord and you serve Him because you love Him? Does it reflect in your attitude? We need to make sure that our priorities are in the right place. Who are you seeking to please today? Are you seeking in the things that you do to please the Lord, to please others, or is it to please yourself? You need to examine yourself today. We're getting ready to go up to camp. Who are you trying to impress at camp? Are you trying to impress all your friends? Are you trying to impress a girl or a boy? Are you trying to impress the leaders? Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to please? You should be trying to please the Lord. Find out what the Lord wants from you and do it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you so much that you're such a great God to us. Lord, you love us. You care about us. Lord, we need to make sure that we're trying to please you. Lord, we get so mixed up and get so busy with so many different things in the world, and we can get very easily distracted in trying to please ourselves, please others, but we need to remember that the ultimate goal is to please you. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, today to make sure that we examine ourselves and examine who we're trying to please today. Lord, because you are worthy. You're worthy of everything that we have. But sometimes we just don't live that way. Lord, I pray that you would just work in a mighty way here, Lord. Help the people to realize, Lord, that this is not just me up here preaching and just me talking, Lord, but this is what you have for your people. And I just pray that you would just work in hearts. Lord, that you'd have your will and your way here today as we wrap up the service. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.